We're going to go through the one of the beautiful passages. I've been reading a lot through the book of Acts. And I was telling my wife yesterday, I was bragging about my knowledge of Acts, but I really don't know anything about it more than you know. So I was just saying, I'm going to write a book about Acts. Wow, I'm 46 and I'm thinking about writing a book of Acts. What are you talking about? So I talked to my dad last night. I said, Dad, you know we're preaching on the book of Acts tomorrow, chapter 29. And, you know, my dad has dementia. He's been through a lot of issues with this Alzheimer's. And he's in Houston right now. And thank you for all of you who pray for him. It's been a blessing to know that I've been prayed. He's been prayed for. And he said, hold on. Where do you go to school? There is no 29 chapters in the book of Acts. Oh, he got me. He got me. There are not 29 chapters in the book of Acts. That's true. It's just because we are writing that chapter right now as a church. The church wrote all these chapters that were wrote by Luke, Dr. Luke. But I'm not an expert on the book of Acts, but I wanted to share this because it's been on my heart. And as we present the gospel, and I will tell you this, I will preach this message, and I will have to tell you something very interesting about my son. You know my son, Juanito? He wants to know why you do things so many times. You do something? Why? For this. Why? So he, everything that you explain to him, he asks you why. So why are we going to talk about the book of Acts? Because it's about Jesus. Why? Because he is important. Why? Because he is the Lord. Why? Because he's coming. I can say many whys. So this morning, I want you to go with me in the whys for the gospel of, in the book of Acts, chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. I'm reading from the ESV. And I'm going to read from my Bible because I really love my Bible. See, cool Bible that was given to me for my ordination, so thank you for being in. Some of you were in my ordination. It says, chapter 18, verse 1 to 10, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a youth named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the youths to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to pursue Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius. I don't know how to say that word. It's just Titius. Is it Titi? What is the word you have in there, bro? Is it Titus? You know, it's so. That's. I was thinking it was a misspell on my Bible, but it's Titius. You guys speak English better than I do, so Titus, right? So the Lord knows his name. Titus. I lost it. Justus, and a worshiper of God, his house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid." Say it again. "Do not be afraid. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." The title of my message is Keep on Speaking. Keep on speaking. And not only speaking because you want to speak English or you want to speak Spanish, keep on speaking the most important message that you and I have, the gospel. How many times this new year you want to preach the gospel? Well, I don't have a title. Well, I don't. Do you need to have a title to preach the gospel? Yes, Christian. As a Christian, we preach the gospel. I'm sorry, I'm a missionary, so I have to tell people about God. Well, that's your job. It's just my job. It's all of us jobs. You know, we were one of the beautiful prayers that Brother Mike said, "Thank you for your forgiveness." Who doesn't want to be forgiven? Everybody. What makes possible that forgiveness? Jesus, the gospel, new life in Christ. We can present the gospel to everybody. I've been making my commitment to say at least to 10 people, tell them about Jesus every day. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you that that's my goal. Can I do it? I've tried 10 people at least. Have you done that? I'm not trying to be, what is the word, brother, that I was trying to say? I'm trying to encourage you, challenge you. I'm not trying to diminish you, your possibilities on sharing the gospel. I'm just saying that we have the same opportunity to share the gospel every day as we go in our lives. And as a missionary, I believe that every church that we have in the St. Louis area is supposed to be a wonderful bunch of soldiers going out and attack the enemy and just go all together in prayer. First of all, praying. Second of all, being available to tell people about the gospel. And so many people have been asked on the Christian world, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And people don't know how to answer, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Why people have to speak about the gospel? That's what Paul is telling you us this morning. He was reading, he was ready, he was preaching, he was telling people about Jesus. And he kept saying, he kept talking, and he kept talking, and he kept talking. So look at verses 9 to 10. This, we wonder why the Lord did this. This says that the Lord came to Paul in a vision. I'm not trying to be Pentecostal, but do you have to wait for a vision from God to start preaching the gospel? Sometimes we do. You know why? Because our eyes need to see something real. And the best vision that you can have is when you open the Word and you start reading about how God spoke to Paul and told Paul what he needed to keep doing. Don't start thinking about, I'm going to ask God for a vision for the lotto number. That doesn't work that way. The last time I checked, I spent almost $500 buying lottery, and that was when I was not a Christian. So don't do it as a Christian. If you do it, that's your choice. Talk to your pastor. But I am going to tell you that we wonder why the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Paul had been in worse situations than this before, and the Lord had not intervened in a dramatic way. Why now God is talking to Paul in a vision? Why? We ourselves can never tell why the Lord did this, because we are only human, and we have not capacity to read nor to know hearts. The only one who can read and he can understand our hearts is God. So in order for us to understand why Paul needed to have a vision from God, it's because God knew that Paul, deep in his heart, was going through a very dramatic and very illness situation that you and I will understand when you stand up and say, I'm standing for the truth, I'm standing for the gospel. Probably we read in chapter 17, I'm not going to go to all this, chapter 17, but you know, he was talking about the 18 people from Athens. I don't know the word in English, brother. Val, help me with Athenas in English. Athens, that's the word in English. Athens, the chapter before. The Athens, I will say it in Spanish. You understand, that's the people that like to listen a lot, but don't obey a lot. They just like to listen. Paul, tell us more about your trips to when you got your shipwreck. Oh, Paul, tell us more about that day that you had the snake by the hand and it bit you. And Paul, tell us another story from, and Paul, what was the problem with 18 people? They will want to listen, but they will never want to obey the gospel. You know, in the last 3 years that I've been visiting a lot of people in this area in St. Louis, I find that problem. People want to listen stories. People want to listen. Where are you from? How do you cook your meat? How do you cook the chicken? How do you? And we want to get into this interacting with this social cultural thing in their lives, and it's beautiful. But I want people to be able to receive the gospel when I share with them, hey, what do you think about the gospel? Well, that doesn't matter. We came here for the American dream. American dream. We're not here to seek any kind of God. We didn't come here to see, you know, if church gathers on Sundays or Wednesdays or Mondays. We don't care really about the church. We just came here for the American dream. Have you heard that before? I heard that every day. And that's the last time I see these people. And I just keep it in my prayer. And that's what I was sharing with Brother Kurt about a challenge that I have for you at the end of the service, of my sermon. I'm going to challenge you that you help me to pray for the people that I'm ministering to. I'm just going to give you, you can pray for five people. Five of my people. If you want names, I can give you names. But if you don't want names, just tell me, I'll be praying for those people that you present the gospel. Because all that we're doing, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just planting the seed. You and I, we're going to get frustrated like Paul. Paul kept talking to these people, and they just was listening. We're listening, listener. They were good listeners, but not good doers. You know, James gets really mad at the church and says, you guys need to stop being listeners and start being doers. Oh, how rude is James? But he was right on the point. Paul maybe was tired of these people that he kept talking to them, and they never change. I get tired when I keep telling people there is a solution. Do you want to hear from? Oh, no, I just wanted to vent my problems. I just needed to share with someone. You want to go for a cup of coffee? Yeah, I just want to tell you about my problems, and then just we'll see what happens. No, I have a solution. God. Oh, no. So that's one of the things that I understand. I was reading to this passage. Paul was tired. I was just helped some of the events that happened on 1420, Acts 1420. He got up and went straight back. What happens in 1420? You got it there? Oh, 1420. When the disciples gathered about him, he rose and entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas. He kept going and going, finding different places that we can present the gospel. Right after being severely flogged for knee infanting, he began singing hymns in his prison. The next situation Paul was is in jail. Can you believe Paul went to jail? Why was he in jail? I reached out to this last week to the Sister Dulce's ministry, and Pastor Joe told me, you want to come with us and do the homeless ride? I'm a missionary, you know, I don't do those things. I'm cool. I just do my own thing. And it was challenging to hear him say, you want to come and do the homeless, right? They start very early in the morning, go out late on the day. Say, those homeless deserve to be there because they're choices. But you and I, when you and I get to go to the jail because of the gospel, are you ready to do that? I don't mean to be rude. I'm just asking you a challenging question for even for myself. I don't think I want to go to the homeless ride. I don't even know what kind of people gets on those rides. My wife's going to be really worried about me. I don't want her to worry about me. I just have a life to live, and, you know, I don't have to be that. I have a friend of mine say, oh, that's corny. I don't want to be that corny as a Christian. I just want to go to church, be nice about people, say hi to people, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and let's move on. But don't tell me about going to jail because of Jesus. That's not for me. And brothers, I never been to jail. Have you? No, let's get out of the. I don't want to get gossiping here. You're going to be like, oh, he's trying to find out my past. No, it doesn't matter for me. It's just part of the message I wanted to share. Paul was in jail, and when he was in jail, he was not complaining. He was worshiping Jesus, and he was witnessing the beautiful presence of the Lord. And what happened, Brother Scott? Everything, all the things came out. And they were able to escape. So we see situations that Paul was. Look at the list of his unpleasant encounters. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 21 to 29. You see all that list? Oh, I can read it from there. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So I am. Are they? So he starts with the list of credentials that he's been going through. And he says, none of those things are important. None of things really matter. I was beaten. I was hidden. I was really, really, really mistreated. And all of this because of the gospel. But this moment, it says, the point is that our eyes, Paul is almost inhuman in facing trials and hardship. But that's our own judgment based on what we see with our limited vision. But God, who sees the heart, knows differently. God says to his seemingly invisible, undoubting men. I was telling Brother Kurt, I wanted to bring an encouragement for you. I think I'm being encouraged by you as a messenger. I'm encouraged to see you sitting here. I'm really encouraged to see you beating up everything just to be here today and listen to God's word. We cannot see the heart of people. Only God can. And I'm going to tell you something. These words are for you and for me. I'm not just going to tell you I came to encourage the church of Lindsay Lane. I'm telling you right now, God is telling you, you and me, to not be afraid. One of the biggest challenges that you and I have as humans, we get afraid. We don't like to talk about it. I really don't want to tell you what I'm afraid of. I don't want to tell you. Why? Juanita says, why? Yes, why? Why don't you want to talk about what are you afraid of? And there are two things that I will tell you that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of not being able to present the gospel when I need it. And I'm afraid to get in the seat of throne of God empty-handed. I am also afraid of being sick. I'm also afraid of people who drive 270 in a 65 mile. I really want to start walking, get out of my car and start walking home. Is it a valid reason to be afraid? Yes, we're human. But none of the bad circumstances that Paul lived before are facing this situation right now when he is being in a commitment, in a communion with God, that God is giving him a vision to say, Paul, I need you to see me, and I need you to listen to me. This is very important. Whatever is hindering or whatever is keeping you from doing God's work is because of your fear. Do not be afraid of sharing the gospel. Do not be afraid of telling about Jesus. Do not be afraid of what people will say about you. You know why? I was talking to some of the Hispanic friends. My friend Paul is back there. The first thing that they tell me is, why don't you come to church with us? Why don't you just join our Bible study? I don't know what my wife is going to say. I don't know what my neighbors are going to say. But the biggest one is, I don't know what my grandma will think about it, because I'm changing religions. The biggest fear that men and women have is to express faith. We live in a society that is censoring people. Don't speak about God. Don't speak about it. Don't keep your religion low profile. Keep it low. Don't be too much about that Jesus thing. Don't be a Jesus freak. I'm really concerned, you know. I'm really concerned because I have my children. Victoria, she's 7. Eleanor is 5, and Juanito's 2. I don't know what kind of church they're going to grow up. I don't know what kind of faith I'm communicating with them that they will be able to stand up and say, my dad, well, the Bible says, my dad taught me, my mom taught me, my church taught me this is wrong. My pastor says that's wrong. The Holy Spirit within me says this is wrong and I'm going to get involved in it. I don't know what kind of work I'm doing with my children to raise them up to be faith people, people of faith, people who will stand for the conviction and stand in front of everybody just to the truth. We are facing a cowardly society that wants to keep everything shut down. This is not about politics, guys. Church, I say guys, I'm sorry. I just get too excited when I talk. Translate my high school language here. This is not about politics. Church is not about politics. Church is about the gospel. Church is about the Great Commission. Church is about making disciples. Church is about standing for what is right, what is truth, what is compassion. What is that God wants us to do? And all of these sometimes get limited because of our fears. Listen, friend, I don't know what you're afraid about this morning. But I'm going to tell you, fear, it's horrible. I wish I never feel fear in my heart. And this is the reason I'm talking about you. This passage is to 2024. We're about to start new year. We already started. We're on the seventh day. We have 51 more Sundays to come. How many of these Sundays are going to be difficult for you? Oh, I'm afraid of the weather. Oh, I'm afraid there's not going to be coffee. I'm afraid somebody's going to stick their tongue. I mean, and I'm never going to come back to the church because they look at me like this. I'm afraid. And you start being afraid of things that are not real. We start being afraid of things that are not important. The only thing we fear, which if afraid, will be of presenting the gospel every day on your house, in your driveway, in the store, wherever we are, we want to be like Paul, have the marks of the gospel. I was laughing because my nose, you know, I have, how many high schools here? No high school today. When I was in high school, one of my friends made fun of my nose and said my nose was too short. So for 6 months, I kept my nose covered like this. I was afraid of what people would think about me for 6 months until I got kind of reddish. My dad asked me, what is wrong with your nose?
But nothing wrong with my nose. I just love and stuff.
we have a limited vision of the gospel, that's why we get afraid. We don't know what the gospel can make to people. I'm telling you right now, I can tell you what the future is going to be of our lives when we trust in Jesus. It's going to be a vision of eternity. When we look down in our vision for the now things, we don't see much. But once we see the eternal, the vision of eternal life, our lives are going to make more sense. Paul receives the word from God himself. Do not be afraid. He says to him, keep on speaking. He says to him, do not be silent. He also says to him, I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. These words shed a different light on the state of Paul's mentality. And Paul realized, or Paul said, I know, I'm tired. And one of the question marks that I was doing in there, what was Paul going through? And it says, the Lord said to Paul, one night in vision, do not be afraid. Go on. And then, who will ever imagine that Paul could be afraid? But he was. Paul experienced fear, which the Lord alone sends in his heart. Who knows how and why such fear might be surfaced? After much abuse from so many people in so many places, it might be that he was tired of it. It might be that he began to have bad dreams of the abuse and suffering he received, dreading the next one coming. Even the most faithful and devout people of the Lord experience this at times. Remember, Paul now is going to Corinth. You guys familiar with Corinth? My wife is going to help me with this. What's my favorite city that I like to mention, pronounce in English? Swansea? No? Swansea. I always have a problem with that. You know, Swansea, Corinth, very similar. I don't know who's from Swansea. Anybody? No? But that's when I was doing some work as a Lyft driver for 5 years ago. That was the worst place I could drop people, Swansea. I hated that city. I tried to turn it off before I got to that area because I didn't want to take anybody to Swansea, the city, the lost city. I didn't want to go there. It was all darkness. It was all bad. And I didn't want to. One day I got a flat tire in there. Oh, Lord, I pray. Lord, protect me, Lord. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. I don't know how bad the reputation is for you, but for me, Swansea was one of the worst cities that I ever driven around this area. I don't know if any other city it is, but Corinth was one of the worst cities that Paul was getting to. And he knew what was ahead of him. And he knew that he needed to be renewed. He needed to be refreshed. So the Lord tells him, even, it says, sometimes the fear of something that bad recurring my haunt their nights, such as they cannot sleep. Even a recurring sin, problem may terrify a faithful soul and paralyze it with dread of future recurrences. But at a time like this, the Lord spoke to Paul, her saying, do not be afraid. Something I want you to remember this morning of this message. You can speak to your heart. Not because you are like a scientist or anything. It's just God gave us a heart, and we can speak to him. Tell your heart, do not be afraid of being a Christian. Do not be afraid of sharing the gospel. Do not be afraid. And one of the most important challenges that we have throughout this year, don't be afraid of standing up as a church. Don't be afraid of telling people who you believe. Don't be afraid. It was the same counsel and encouragement the Lord had to often give his disciples when they felt afraid. Jesus used the same words, so that therefore we know that vision was from the same Lord. The Lord is our Father. He is not a slave driver who expects us to be at our best at all times. He is also our healer who wants to see us well. He is our loving Father who wants to comfort us in our troubles. What else can melt the fear for our heart, of our hearts, whatever the fear may be? The Lord knows it. The Lord knows. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. What an amazing encouragement and command. And what an amazing insight into Paul's heart as well. What might Paul have considered, I wonder, could have considered something different. But he says, do not be silent. There are times to be silent. And there are times to keep speaking. I think Church 2024 is and will continue and will be a year that we need to keep speaking the gospel. We need to have the encouragement and the encouragement and the commitment to keep on preaching. I'm not just saying this as a lingo. I really mean it. I like when the worship team comes up here and they sing. What are they doing? They're worshiping God. We didn't come to worship each other here. We came to worship God. There is an act of service. Everything that we do in the congregation has a purpose for it. We come here and we want to worship God. We want to see the gospel carried out. Keep on speaking. Almost there, brother. We're good. Yeah, we got it. Yeah. So keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Brother Mike, he's the one who has the button there. He's going to push it when it's time to go. And I always say that I preach until I get tired. And it says, people said, well, we leave by noon. So you can leave. I can keep preaching, but you can leave whenever you want. No, I'm just joking. So I'm going to keep on speaking. Paul was thinking about the importance of God showing up in Paul's situation. We get chapter verse 10 in there. Do not be afraid. It says, keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Do not be afraid. Listen to this beautiful word. For I am with you. For I am with you. Do you remember that beautiful, beautiful description of Moses in the desert? And Moses says, why should I go? Who's sending me? I am sending you. The same word that Jesus said in his time during the time on earth, I am. He has seven beautiful I ams. I'm not going to preach about it, don't worry. Gospel of John, seven I ams. I am. I am. And the same expression comes out right now. I am with you. I am with you. It says, I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you. Paul expected attacks because every time the gospel took root someplace, there was always a strong opposition to this glorious work of God. Satan will not rest when the gospel is finding its way into people's heart and the kingdom of God is growing. Paul understood the spiritual world and reality well enough to know that attacks on him on the gospel work are sure to come. Maybe it troubled him to envision the angry faces of those who would be his enemies, cursing and abusing his newcomers who would have to suffer for no other reason than for the love for Christ. I still remember the first day that I preached my sermon. It was in Edinburgh, Texas. It was an elder congregation, and I just went blank in my head. I forgot everything that I was going to say. I'm like right now. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I went blank, and I just could see their faces. Some people were so mad. I don't know why. Their faces were like this, looking at me up and down. My professor, like Brother Carter, was up there waving at me and saying, the only thing I remember is saying, how many of you are happy? Okay, that didn't work. And then a little lady said, I'm happy. And I just said the dumbest answer or reply to that lady that I'm never going to do it again. I said, well, ma'am, it would be nice to tell that to your face. My professor almost killed me from there. I'm like, okay. But imagine when you're presenting the gospel and people are resilient, like I re-challenge you to, what are you telling me that I'm doing something wrong? Have you ever told somebody with love that there's a better way of doing things, and you want to see change in their lives because you see their recurring mistakes taking over their lives and their families and everything that they have, and they still say, I'm going to think about it, but I'm not ready. You know, you always are so prejudiced of me. You hate me. You don't like me, and people start getting so honorary because you are helping them to understand that the gospel needs to be in their hearts. There's no more difficult effort than to try to present the gospel to somebody who doesn't have faith to believe in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4 says that the God of this century has blinded them. So when you and I try to remove that band, they get aggressive. Have you ever faced any tribulation for sharing the gospel? I'm not trying to be like saying that the gospel is going to be always causing trouble, but it is. It always going to cause trouble because we're going to present a new life. And I always tell people, you want a new life or you just want a new friend? People say, I want a new friend. So I want to tell you about a new friend that can give you a new life. His name is Jesus. Oh, I thought you wanted to be my friend. You know, I don't have friends. Nobody cares. You're the only one who comes visit me. You're the only one who cares about me. I said, well, that's just my human side, but there is one God that he sent his son, that he can be your friend, not only your friend, but your savior forever. No, I'm not interested. I still want to say, continue having my pity parties, because that's what it's all about. I want to have a pity party where everybody feels sorry for me, and I'm not going to stand up for the truth. I'm just going to continue in my sin. And you know what? That's frustrating for us. But at the same time, it's praise the Lord for that. We planted the seed. Let's move on. And my job has been doing that. But it hurts to see people suffering. I don't know about you. I don't like to see people struggling with the same sin over and over and over. It's so sad when I walk in the streets of Cherokee Street. Have you been in Cherokee Street? No, Cherokee Street? Sorry, Cherokee? My pronunciation. Thank you. I need you in my next sermon. Cherokee. You see clouds everywhere. And those clouds are not the Holy Spirit pouring down on people. Clouds of smell of toxins and smell that is controlling people's minds, and young people, very young people that are using and abusing drugs and everything. I'm not going to just tell you about that to be alarmist. It's a reality. We see that every day. We see our younger generation of people. That's what I'm worried about, my kids. What's going to happen with them? Who's going to teach them that's wrong? We see them, more and more kids getting involved in those kind of substances. When I was in Nebraska, I worked for the state of Nebraska. I was one of those people that go to the judge and gather content for them and tell them, this so-and-so parent shouldn't be the parent of this kid. That broke my heart. I couldn't do it anymore. I decided to work on the good side, presenting the gospel to parents so they can change, not just giving a temporary change. I want the people to have a eternity ahead of them and a change of eternity for eternity. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. And when we see these crowds of people getting dark and dark, the only hope that I have, folks, is the gospel. We as a church have a privilege to carry the gospel in our conversation, to carry the gospel in our radios, in your churches, in your houses, everywhere you go. The answer for this, who is with you? Who is with you? This morning I'm going to tell you something. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. If you want to take one message, the Lord is with you. There is nothing more important than God assurance is present to his people and saying, I am with you. When is he going to quit? Never. He is the only one who can say something and do it. He is God. He doesn't lie like we do sometimes. Not because we like, but this is human nature. We don't fulfill our promises, but what God is saying here, hey, are you going to work tomorrow? Brother Stan is going back to work tomorrow. After 6 weeks of almost being killed in an accident. Praise the Lord. He is now going back to work. Bills are piling up, right? But the same God that was with him during the accident is going to be with him tomorrow as you head out to work. I am with you. My final thoughts in here, God has a purpose in his plan. His plan is the Great Commission. You and I want you to do something for me, this final thoughts that I have in here. Think about five people. I'm not saying your relatives. You already pray for your relatives. I want to encourage you that this 2024, you can add something to your spiritual life. I mean, I already know that we all have struggles, temptations, tribulations. We all do that. But when we start asking the Lord to give us someone that we can teach all that we know, that's going to make us a really, really different life, Christian life, exciting life. I like what I see, brother, with his coaching and everything. You know, you have all these people trying to learn from you. Let's think about five people that you're going to tell them about Jesus. But most importantly, you're going to think about five people that you're going to tell Jesus about these people. I encourage you to spend, if I get to come again, and not because Brother Brian will get sick or anybody, if I get to see you again, I would like to, you tell me, hey, brother, I have five people that I've been praying for 5 minutes, for 5 days. You'll be amazed in the opportunities God is going to give you to present the gospel to those five people if you really want to. This is not a magical thing. I'm not the Mexican who reinvents the wheel in the church. No. I'm just saying this is something that I do in my field. I do every day. Mexican people are always there. Brother Paul, you're Mexican, right, Brother Paul? I'm on the good side. Yeah, I'm on the good side here. Mexican rule. No, shouldn't go that way. But the point is, you can say, well, I don't have five people in my life. Well, I have five people that I want you to pray with me for. I'm going to finish with this invitation. I'm going to ask Brother Mike to come and play a beautiful music. I know that song in Spanish, Majestad. That was a beautiful song. But my invitation this morning, Don't be afraid of talking to God about these five people. Don't be afraid of telling five people about Jesus. And most importantly, tell Jesus about these people. My second question is, how long do you pray for people? May this 2024 will be the day, the year that you spend more time in prayer. If we're going to do God's work, it has to be God's way. And the church is going to be standing up because of the word, because of the prayers, because of the fasting, because of the things that you're going to do to empower our congregation to be out there. We got the presence of God with us. What else do we need? He said, I am with you. No matter what's happened, I am going to be with you. Do not be afraid. My last invitation, are you afraid of something? Is there something that you are afraid that is keeping you from worshiping God and just giving Him all your life to Him? Is something holding you that you are afraid that what people will say of you if you become a Jesus freak? I know people like that. This morning I'm going to finish. Thank you, brother. And I say in a prayer, if there's something that you're afraid of, bring it to prayer. I'm telling you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of getting to heaven empty-handed. I'm afraid of leaving a bad reputation of my testimony as a member of a church. I'm afraid of not serving the Lord with my talents, my time, and my treasures. I am afraid of those things. If you want to pray with me, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, this is not just something that I could say for my own sake or my own feelings. When Paul was still struggling, you show up in him in a vision, and you told him, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. But not only you tell him that he was in fault, you also gave him a solution. Remember, Paul, I have a plan. Remember, Paul, the gospel. Remember, Paul, I am with you. It's the same words that you use for your disciples when you're going up to heaven. You will be with us until the end of the world. Lord, we want to bear fruits of the gospel. We want to see many people coming to Christ this new year. Not only for the numbers in our congregation, but for the power that the church needs to keep practicing the prayer, to keep practicing the presenting of the gospel, to keep practicing the fasting, to keep practicing the singing, the worshiping, the serving our community that is living in a desperate situation because they need the gospel. They need the church to be the messengers that we need to be, that you have to bless. Bless our community, Lord, with faithful people following Christ. Not being afraid of standing for the truth. Not being afraid for people who stand against us. But being faithful, obedient to the wonderful and amazing God that knows our hearts. And He knows when we are being afraid. You have not given us a spirit of coward. You are giving us a spirit of self-control, self-love. The control that we can preach the gospel out and wherever you send us. We want to thank you so much for this gathering, Lord. We ask you to bless us throughout this week as we start our weeks, that we can see many people coming to Christ and we can gather next Sunday with testimonies of how you led us throughout this week to be a blessing to our community, whatever you send us. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. The church said, Amen.